Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you'll receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Horse podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I play Crucible Guard, if I could. My local store is closed.
That's not true.
It's a public play, it is.
Okay, that part's true.
Okay. As far as putting War Machine models on the table, my local store.
That's true. and it's really funny to me, I guess, the wide divergence. I don't know why not just jump into this here.
Everybody else is talking about it.
Before you even introduce yourself.
Why not?
I'm Jay. I'm trying to run discountgamesinc.com.
In the midst of a worldwide pandemic.
Yes. And I'm not really playing anything right now. Because
you can't.
I can't.
And I'm Josh.
I'm going to have some questions for you, sir.
Wait, are you having questions for me as Josh or as God Emperor?
Oh, it will be. I want the opinions of God Emperor Josh.
I'm trying to think of my play games. I mean, other than Through the Ages, which I play constantly.
I need to start. Like,
my children are now, you know, whatever. What do we call it? So they're social distancing.
Yes, okay.
Which
side note.
I started doing that first thing Monday morning.
I read an article.
Do your children not have, like, any concept of how important it may be?
No, they're getting it pretty good.
Okay, I have a story to tell you after we're done with this.
My wife drills it into a brain.
Okay, I have a story to share.
But, like, here's the thing. It's like, I'm fine at social distance. I'm happy to do my part. But I have no time at home now because, like, my children and my wife, like, here's why the Wheelers can't homeschool, okay? Nobody gets up before 9. Nobody goes to bed before 10. Because why not? And you know what? I respect their chronotype. It happens to be my chronotype. However, I'm still running a business, you know, where I do actually show up at the office, which feels like a ghost town. But, you know.
One side note, I read an article the name that took off for social distancing, they picked the wrong name.
Okay.
Basically, instead of it being social distancing, it should be physical distancing. Because
we're also
humans are still anyway. Well, no, humans are still social animals who are still going to have. You still need to be socially supporting.
Yeah,
each other.
Okay, that's fair. But I see.
So the rant that I or not rant just
questions. Yeah, I do have a favorite meme that's not a dank dude meme. Rant on.
Go okay, like just the and I assume it's this way everywhere, but it's I think even probably more so here in Idaho right now because. Honestly, Idaho hasn't been hit hard yet.
Right.
And
well,
so
we're more rural.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and Idaho Falls will have like compared to some of the places in Idaho where no one visits, Idaho Falls does at least have
travelers.
We have people who travel for the National Laboratory,
yeah. Right.
Or,
right.
Et cetera. Anyways. It's just kind of fascinating to me, like how the wide spectrum of ways that people are responding to this situation. Because on the one hand, like I have another person who has a game store locally that is still running events and has said, like, I don't get why anyone would not be running events right now. And, people are just overreacting to this. And, you know, that's there's a lot of people locally who feel that way.
Oh, yeah. This is not a question.
Has
this become a question yet?
Not yet.
Just a rant.
No, this is an observation.
I don't actually pay that close attention to other states. So was Mississippi after us?
Did they get one out?
In terms of having
the last two states to get a case. They were after us. So we were second to last in all of the 50 states to actually.
I thought West Virginia was low.
I don't think so. I think it was us in Mississippi.
I think.
Also, I want to go on
the this. I think the stat is a bunch of malarkey.
It is bull because.
well, it's like, oh, no one means, has tests.
All that means, that's exactly what I said. I'm like, all this means is that Idaho didn't have tests. It didn't mean we didn't have cases. Like,
whatever. Doesn't matter.
All right.
Point being is that it's had a very low impact thus far in this state. But so I mean, Jay's right. Like, it just feels like nobody's like, there's some people taking it seriously, some people not. So my story relates to my children, whom I sat down at dinner and I said, we need to distance ourselves. I actually had a long conversation with my coworker at work about how I didn't like, there's a good number of people who are quote unquote at risk.
Right.
According to the CDC guidelines, I am an at-risk person.
Yes.
Because I have diabetes. Yes. I did not consider myself at risk. In fact, until my coworker brought it up and started kind of talking about it, it didn't even cross my mind.
Okay.
Right.
You know, because I feel like I'm a normal 40-year-old person. Yeah. But clearly, you know, sometimes we don't have a grasp of our own mortality.
Yes, welcome to the human race. Yeah. We are terrible risks.
Correct. So I'm thinking, how many of these employees or people are you going to ask, you know, are you an at-risk person? I'm like, oh, heck no. You know, I'm not. Right. That's not me. Okay. So anyway, I go home and I have this conversation with my children about how I'm at risk, their grandparents are at risk, and their friends' grandparents are at risk. And I'm like, you guys are not. I'm like, I tell my daughter, like, you're not going to die from this. But if you hang out with your friends and it passes through you, you will kill the neighbor. You'll kill, like, one of her close friends is adopted, and her parents are much older, you know, and I'm like, so I thought I had made this clear case to, you know, that the school being out is not an opportunity for you to just play with your friends all day.
Trevor's cute when he's optimistic.
I know, right? And I leave the next day, I go to work, I come home. I open the garage, or I close the garage door. I go through the little mud room and I open the door into the kitchen. I'm hearing music and I'm like, oh, that's kind of odd.
And there's like a thumping dance party.
Correct. I open the door and there is this 14-year-old girl like flinging her booty in my face right as I step in the door. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And I look around and there's teens everywhere. And I'm like, and I walk over to my wife and I'm like, I thought we were going to distance ourselves from the rest of the neighborhood for the sake of all involved. And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And she walks in and she's like, I'm more blunt with my children, but I'm not blunt with my neighbor's children.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't say anything out loud. I just kind of like, you know, hey, what's going on? And my wife, she doesn't care. She walks in and says, all right, party's over. You know, we're going into quarantine now. Everyone home. She's like, don't come back. And they're like, what? And you can see like the visual distraught on these teens' faces. Okay. Like, what the hell is going on? What world have we just stepped into? And then when they finally leave, I face my daughter and I'm like, didn't we have a conversation about this? About how you could kill your neighbor's parents,
right.
You know, your friend's parents and their grandparents or whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, son of a girl.
So
yeah, basically don't stop her.
I'm sure like two or 3 days from now they'll be like, I thought it was over.
And right. Yeah, yeah,
they'll
yeah,
be I'm back sure. in my kitchen yeah, again dancing.
Don't stop repeating it.
So I called my parents and
is this story about to make me sad?
Probably.
It's gonna make me sad. All right, carry
probably on. So my parents are in their early 80s. And my father is 1 year and 1 day older than my mother. Okay. And so their birthdays are right next to each other on the calendar. It's kind of funny. But they're like 83, 82. They're both diabetic. Both, you know, just...
Are they also immunocompromised? Like, did they check all of the risk boxes, Jay? Or did they
I mean, probably. So I call them and I'm like, you know, are you guys like my dad's kind of a social guy. He's like, I went on a trip with him one time and we're like in the elevator and these other people come friends. In and he's making friends in the elevator. And I'm like, what are you doing?
They're not going to see these people again in 7 seconds.
Yeah, he's just like my grandma. She would pick up random people and she'd get to know them and then drop them off. And like, she would just talk to everybody. And I'm like, what in the hell, lady?
and so I'm like, you know, are you guys limiting visitors? And she's like, no, not really. We're not doing that. And she's like, and you know, my sister, she offered to do grocery shopping for him, but you know, my dad just went out and did it anyway. And I'm like, well, you guys need to have a come to Jesus moment on this and like start taking this seriously. And her response was, well, I have to die somehow.
Jeez.
Suicide by COVID night, basically.
Evidently, like, yeah. She's also like,
she's had a rough couple of
years. Yeah, she is like, she believes that basically it's time for her to die and go on to a better life and to stop hurting so much. Which
there's when they cross that point, it feels like there's just not really changing that.
I don't know. My wife acts like this.
Yeah, but you guys, I assume you guys have stopped your early morning gym classes.
Oh yeah, when the gym closed.
Yeah.
We stopped going.
We have a gaming friend who has lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, okay. And one of the ways they treat it is by suppressing their immune system, so that their immune system will stop attacking their joints.
Yeah,
and so. And that she's had that for a long time. So and this has been for the last decade. Anytime that I have gotten ill and of any kind, I thought, should I or should I not go visit her? Because, you know, am I going to put her in grave illness?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, this has just kind of like brought that thought back. Like, do I dare go anywhere near them? Because, you know, I don't know what I'm carrying. I'm a dirty person.
To your rant, Jim. At what point does somebody take something seriously? Like, I'm like, in our area, when the predominant religion is like, hey, we're not having those meetings at church on Sundays anymore, and people still aren't taking it seriously, I'm like, okay, so nobody will ever take anything.
Well, yeah, I don't get it. My wife is like, she's like, we're going to have family dinner next week. And I'm like, are you serious?
Hell we are!
I'm like, your mother is 75 years old. Like, are you serious? And she's like, well, I don't really want to cancel. I'm like, dear, when the brethren say we're not having church anymore, maybe you should take it a little seriously. And all of a sudden her eyes went, oh, I'm like, what the? Am I the only one around here who gets this?
Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Like, I try not to get super political on.
You do a pretty good
job. On Chain Attack, even though I have very strong political views.
Yes.
But like, it's a big issue that a big chunk of our area gets the majority of their news from Fox News.
And are treating this as a partisan issue.
And Fox News has been sowing misinformation on this topic for a long time.
I don't want to know.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
That's why you have people that are like, this is no different than a flu.
Yes.
This is not a big deal.
Because Fox News said that.
You're overreacting.
But, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, that is.
It is
a big issue.
Yes,
So our fight with our kids, like, because Larry and I, you know, when this really started to ramp up last weekend, in my mind, I mean, just last week, I feel like it's 0 to 6. Like,
yeah.
Here especially.
Yes. We looked at each other and we're like, okay, we're gonna social distance. We're gonna take the kids out of school. We're gonna take the gymnast out of gym. We're gonna, you know, this, that, and the other. So they're all like heartbroken about the things that they're missing.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, first of all, you're not the only one missing stuff.
Right. We're not taking you out and you being the only one.
But the problem is that some of her
friends, some people parents, are still doing
we're still taking their kids to gyms. And like my favorite is like there's text conversation that I see I was in it, but it was like the gymnastic parents, right? Like the coach saying, like, here's the plan for this week. And my wife, I try not to harp on this point often, who is a physician, like responds to this group text and I should find it. But she's basically like, we're not going to have Lily go. We're not really worried about her getting sick, but we are concerned that she could be a carrier. Just exactly
right,
what she's
yeah,
having.
Right.
And affect, you know, immunocompromised neighbors. I mean, we're basically, we are housing the children of a man who is in chemotherapy, right, with leukemia, right?
Okay.
Oh. And like, when his children wanted to go hang out with friends, I was like, I don't know if I should kill you or just let you kill your dad. You know?
Oh, jeez.
Like, it's just like, it's not sinking in, right? So anyway, the gymnastics mom conversation. So my wife does that, has that comment, right? And then, like, the next two comments after, like, well, I'm not worried at all about, you know, whoever, Giselle coming to gymnastics because she's not showing any symptoms. And, oh, yeah, as long as you're doing it, such and such. Libby's going to be there. And I'm like, this is a microcosm of exactly what Jay is describing.
Well, and granted, some of it, like, I will admit that. So one of the things that Nate Silver said that I thought was kind of interesting is that, so Twitter has the propensity to kind of blow things out of proportion.
Right, yeah.
Sure.
And
it's an out-of-proportionate.
Yeah, but in this instance, it's probably a good thing because humans don't really grasp exponential growth. And
it's a hard subject to understand.
Right.
Like, it's hard to wrap your mind around exponential growth.
And so, like, the Twitter freak out over this is probably appropriate. and as someone who has spent way too much time on Twitter,
right,
the last little bit, like, anytime someone's like, oh, well, you know, there's nothing to worry about, or this is, you know, blah blah blah, I'm just like, you know nothing. And the reality is that most of them do know nothing because they live a saner life than I do off of Twitter.
That is true. I think sometimes I forget how little a lot of people pay attention even to news.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of people's attitude is, oh, I don't want to watch that.
This is the longest intro ever. We're 17 minutes in. And...
it's a Cove intro.
Oh, gosh.
It's got to be a 19-minute intro.
I did. To continue the making fun of our the society of our local area, one of the tweets I saw that was pretty funny was Mormon moms be all like COVID. That's a nice boy's name.
That's a nice name.
My favorite COVID meme so far is the one that's like, introverts, put your book down and check on your extrovert friends. They are not okay right now. I was like, oh, I can so relate.
Were you the one who retweeted the, I'm not sure. I think I saw, it was either a meme or a TikTok that was like the introvert who reads.
Hey, it's gone. I'm so mad. Like, it's the greatest TikTok ever where the guy's like watching the news and it's like, stay away from other people. And he stands up and he's like, I've been waiting for this moment all my life.
Now is my time to shine.
Yes, it was so good. And like, when I went to look at it the other day, because I was like, oh, I just need to listen to that one more time. It was gone.
I just need some joy in my life. okay, so whatever. We're continuing on this topic because I have questions for you, Josh.
I'm ready. Oh my gosh. I'm going to put a warning in front of this episode.
That's fair.
I don't know if you've watched any or listened to many other podcasts right now, but
No.
Yeah,
my podcast stack is always way behind. So the podcast, here's the facts. I'm listening to a podcast from 2013 right now. So
every podcast is a coronavirus podcast right now.
Okay, well, so we're no different.
Correct. I'm sorry, I guess, but
we'll put the warning. If they don't want to listen, they don't want to listen. That's fine.
So, Josh.
Yes, Jay.
What has it been like being God Emperor of Ammon during the pandemic?
I'm going to be able to tell you better tonight because we're city council meeting is this evening.
Yeah.
And it's being held by
teleconference.
Zoom, right?
Okay.
That's teleconference.
And can your co-peoples understand Zoom?
I don't know. Like,
you're going to be the only one there.
So like, you know, it's gone out. The announcement's gone out. But, well, no, here's the thing. Like, so I'm like, okay, that's fine, Mayor. I'll attend via Zoom. Right. The two oldest members of the city council are like, well, I'm just going to be there. Like, physically be there, right? Because the way the mayor sent it out was like, you know, we're trying to limit face-to-face contact.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, we're going to do it by Zoom. You can come to the council chambers.
Well, it gave them an out.
Yep.
And so the basically the most at-risk people are like, heck yeah, bring me into the VAT.
Are they letting the public in, though?
Like, no, if I remember right, the public has to basically
zoom in as well.
Watch via Zoom.
Yeah. And that doesn't seem...
It's totally reasonable.
Too bad.
I mean, honestly...
Even for the old
So people. I'm pretty impressed, and obviously I'm biased, but, like, our little municipality had a COVID-19 plan ready to go over a month ago. Like, it was presented to City Council, we reviewed it, you know, and this is basically, like, how will the department heads, how will each department head react, who are basically the employees that have got to physically be present for their job, mm-hmm. and, you know, and... So, I mean, the city is ready and prepared to make sure that people continue to have clean water and have their garbage service and mm-hmm. important things, you know? So I'm like, I'm pretty happy about that. But it will be interesting because this will be a city council meeting tonight. There will be some, frankly, contentious votes to be taken regarding some land use, you know, like developments that are coming. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's going to be, I think. But for the most part, this area is just like, say what? Worldwide pandemic? That doesn't bother us. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just...
The truth is they take that opinion on almost anything. We're such an insular community as far as
that is true.
So many things.
I forget about that.
Well, and the other thing
and
is...
like, things don't even hit us till like a year
Economic downturns here are always about 18 months behind the rest of the world, it feels like. We just don't get hit at the same time. Yeah. We always get hit with the same stuff. It just takes a while to actually affect us. So, and I think they kind of take that opinion on so many things. They're like, well, we'll deal with it when it gets here, almost, is kind of the opinion.
Like, one of the things that I've been kind of frustrated with is that, like, it feels to me like this is one of the situations where having, you know, effective leadership at the top is very valuable. And there hasn't been much leadership from the federal government, and there has not been much from our state government. I mean, we're one of the few states that I think I saw this yesterday. There was like maybe four or five where there isn't a statewide closure of schools. It's basically.
Well, I didn't realize that we were in that small of a group.
Oh yeah, it's small.
I mean, to be fair, most of the state schools are closed. It's just that he is not mandated.
Right.
It's all been local.
Right. And that's, I guess that's kind of my point, is that, like, it feels like there's a lot of decisions that are being pushed to people
like my mayor.
God Emperor Josh.
I mean, all I do is vote. Yeah, I agree with you.
And like, we're not far. Granted, I understand that Nevada and Las Vegas are very different cities/communities than Idaho Falls.
Jeez, you could say that again.
But like they have a 30-day you can't leave your house, and there's, you can only go to the grocery store and pharmacy.
Is that statewide?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, is like, here, the thing is, like, so a state of Nevada has towns that are the size of Ammon and Idaho Falls. You know, so it's not like, I don't know. That's, yeah, I guess Boise is just not big enough to inspire our governor to do something statewide. That's all I can. I don't get it either.
We're culturally and physically, like, we're in Southeast Idaho. Boise, the capital of the state, is in Western Idaho.
Salt Lake is closer than
Salt Boise. Lake is closer to us than Boise, right. And
which is way more shut down than
we. And if right, and if we, you know, if people in our town want to go somewhere to go shopping or to go do something, whatever, in general, they go to Salt Lake instead of to Boise.
If you're going for a big purchase or something, right. If you're going to the only IKEA I know of is in Utah that people go to.
Like, right.
Yeah. I don't ever go to Boise. It's too much. It's too far, much farther of a drive.
Right. But it's interesting. Like, so we have in ways, we have like stronger ties to Salt Lake City than we do to Boise.
Yeah.
But like the responses are very different. Like right now,
I don't pay that close attention to other states. So I don't even know. What is Utah?
Like right now, Utah's closed down all in-room dining, all bars, stuff like that.
Okay. That I didn't even know.
Yeah.
So I
think a few days ago, yeah.
I mean, it's all happening very.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time to be alive.
Yeah. And yesterday, like the governor of Idaho did a town hall and was like, you know, people can do whatever they want. Yes. You can make whatever decision you want.
This is an accurate.
And I like you. You might think
not quite verbatim, real close.
Yeah, you might think that I'm exaggerating or something, but I'm not.
He's not.
So, but it's also
But see, and it makes such weird things happen. Like, the city of Idaho Falls, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, who's a citizen of Falls, the mayor did declare a state of emergency, right?
I don't know.
Our mayor, Ammon's mayor, has not yet. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you get this weird patchwork of
response in the state, because the governor's like, the local communities can pick and choose how they respond. Yeah, I don't know if the governor of Idaho Falls, or the mayor of Idaho Falls, has declared a state of emergency.
It's possible. And honestly, I think the only reason the governor of Idaho has is to get money.
It unlocks.
Yeah. Which, whatever. I mean, I'll
bring the federal funds.
That's correct.
What's the meme? The man with his hand out.
You're not seeing that. I guess I've not seen that one.
Oh, man. I'll find it. Usually it's about, you know, it's a D&D meme. Party just finished an encounter.
XP.
That's like my cat when we come home in the afternoon. She's like, where's my treats?
Correct. Yes.
She is. I'm not sure if Brian has trained her or she has trained Brian, but there is a time of day in the afternoon that is treat time.
This is the name.
I've never seen that before.
Let's see. Know Your Meme refers to it as Angry Man Pointing at Hand.
Angry Man Pointing at Hand.
Well, there you go.
All righty.
Okay, well, Josh.
Yes,
Jay. What's going on in the Chain Attack Community Builders?
Well, interestingly enough, there's a great discussion happening about COVID-19, Jay.
Okay.
That's for Trevor. Actually, there is a good discussion going on, though, about, like, how is it affecting local clubs and...
I mean, it is an important topic. How do you keep your local community going when you can't meet?
And they're talking about, at what point do you think you need to pull the plug on game night? Like, Jay, why don't you speak to that first? Like, what drove your decision, other than being incredibly informed by, you know, watching the news and insane?
Right. Well, so I am a little bit fortunate. And I guess this is something that I try to do as a life lesson, and that I guess I would encourage other people to do. But, like, I recognize that I'm not an expert on many things, honestly. But I try to recognize what my friends or people in my life are good at. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who, her job is doing disaster preparedness.
Okay.
And so I chatted with her and was like, you know, I want to come up with a policy for Gameopolis. And, you know, what are you guys doing with what you're advising your clients and stuff like that? And, you know, she went over what the World Health Organization is saying right now, what the transmission risks are, et cetera. And when we were initially looking at it, I was initially considering having the play space open, but having it where, like, you could schedule a table and have the people be kind of offset from each other and try to stay 6 feet away from each other, et cetera. And I mean, doing that would be
feasible
within the guidelines of what the World Health Organization is saying. But I decided that, and part of this as well was, that was initially what I was kind of leaning towards, but, you know, I'm not the only person who has a stake in the decisions made here. And so, you know, I discussed it some with Brian. I discussed it some with Nate. Brian was, felt pretty strongly that we should just close the play space. And when there's someone, one of the stakeholders who has kind of a strong feeling about something, then I take that more into weight. And I guess part of it was, you know, one of the, I can't remember who it was who said this, but there was a person on Twitter, I saw a retweet that had like a gazillion retweets, and just like, you know, just stay home. Your Zumba class or whatever will be there in a few weeks or however long. And you know, I've had employees who have been worried about the situation because it's a really weird time where, like, in Idaho, like we've said, it's we're really not a super high risk right now, but there's still kind of, like, everyone's on edge. There's a panic.
All our toilet paper's still gone.
Yeah.
Even though there's, at the time that the toilet paper was bought up, there was no confirmed cases in the state. Like, right. The toilet paper still flew off the shelves.
So you know, basically the decision I made, and I understand that there are game stores that where a lot of the, a big percentage of their revenue comes from event tickets or Friday Night Magic or whatever. And that's a difficult thing to deal with. We're fortunate that fortunate. It'd be nice, I guess, to make more money off of event tickets, but from our revenue streams, the amount that comes from events isn't huge. And so, you know, I basically made the decision that we would stay open for retail sales. We would ask people to have physical distancing while you're in store. But that, you know, while this is going on, it's just not, like, it's just not worth it. And if people, like, if I'm friends with Trevor and we decide, hey, let's play a game, you know, we can do it at someone's house, or we can do...
Yeah, it's not hard to find play space, especially in our community where even, I don't want to get into this too much, but even poor people have fairly reasonable amount of space in their living area. It's not hard to find a 4-foot by 4-foot table where you just have to find somebody, especially amongst the people who
and
play,
it's like,
who have enough free money to games.
It is, like, the play space that I provide is convenient. And
yeah, it's a central location.
It helps build a community.
Awesome terrain,
right? But the reality is that, you know, we can inconvenience ourselves a little bit if it's going to save some people's lives.
Yes. Yeah, if you really want to play your game of War Machine, put some corn on the table and a few cups, and throw it out on your kitchen table. And really, we found tons of corn.
Depends on when you go.
Yeah, I mean, those restock quicker than they. The you know, I have to wonder, did the aloe vera toilet paper sell out quicker than the regular? Like, has it got some healing properties in it or something? I'm just, you know, idle thoughts that I have.
We're shopping for
those. Are probably sold out too.
Yeah,
they are. Yeah. Like, the one I wanted to get was like, this will ship by April 30th. I'm like, I guess I got to get something less comfy for my bum.
Ironically, when I go shopping, the majority of the foods that I get at the grocery store are fresh vegetables.
Oh,
and those are fine.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Because they're not shelf stable. You can't throw them.
Yeah, people aren't. Oh. No one's like, oh my god, I have to stock up on broccoli. Cucumbers.
But you could go can those, Jay.
That's true.
I did make like $60 worth of cheese.
Nice.
Then the next day, my children ate $55.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a terrible plan. For the record.
Yeah. Anyway. So, anyways.
Great discussion. That's a lot of what's going on.
I guess if I were to, you asked, you know, what's the decision process? Like, for me, kind of to summarize, is like, the community will still be there. You can still build it.
From a business owner's perspective, you should take a risk management approach. What are the risks? What does it do to my business? How can I mitigate those risks without destroying my business? I mean, there are other alternative ways that you can do things. Like you said, you close the play space, but you left it open for retail sales. Those are things you can do to mitigate those risks. And certainly, as we've said on the show before, humans are bad risk managers, but there's plenty of information out there on how to create a risk matrix and how to evaluate. And you should absolutely get outside perspective on your risk and say, okay, how big of a risk is it for us to stay open, and what can we do to mitigate?
Yeah, I mean, and it is interesting, like, there's, you know, on the one hand, there's the customers who are, like, scoffing, like, this is
total overreaction,
and then there's the other hand of people who are like, why aren't your doors locked right now? So, you know, it's not an easy thing to
do. It is not. My wife had...
Right.
It's a different animal.
Yeah, I mean, what was her...
A lot of the same reason that you're talking about, but she's like, my procedures at my clinic are all
kind of elective.
Elective. She says, frankly, a large percentage of my clientele are at risk.
At risk people,
right? Yeah.
You know, we'll see. Like, it definitely adds to my anxiety.
And as I already mentioned, even though they're at risk, they probably don't self-identify as at risk.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
They'll still come in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I guess let's talk about things from Discount Games Inc.
Let's do it.
We're still in the intro. It's 37 minutes in. This is the worst episode ever.
This is peak Chain Attack.
Oh my god. So bad. So sorry.
I regret it. No regrets.
I think this is our own social distancing problem. This is the first time we've been able to sit down and actually talk. So we're like, oh, I get to talk to other people. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're basically doing on-mic therapy with each other.
Nothing could go wrong. Yes, what's going on with Discount Games, Jay?
Okay. Doors are still open.
Still yeah, can order we're, online. We're still shipping stuff. I will say, so... If times are tight, there's a lot of uncertainty going on right now. Like, I get it. I'm not going to say that you should be doing orders with me if that's the case. But if you're feeling confident, I appreciate everyone who is ordering from the site. It does mean a lot. We are still shipping things out. And some things that are on the event horizon, we have... The Sisters of, there's a bunch more Sisters of Battle stuff that's releasing this week. And then next week, we have the Roundabout Knockout map for Marvel Crisis Protocol. We have the...
What is the Roundabout Knockout map?
It's just a 3x3 map.
There's a roundabout on it.
Has a roundabout on
it. It doesn't have any signs, so if you're traveling at high rate of speed, you're playing you might Europe. I believe it says Ammon on the corner, but...
Just go right over that.
I would love it so much.
Ammon
it will on mine. I'm gonna write it in.
Does the roundabout map, does it have a scenario where occasionally people just come in the corner and like throw something?
No, I don't think so. Some other stuff coming out next week. The Shepherd's Guild for Guild Ball is releasing.
What is there?
I'm not sure.
Is that what they call the mascot? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's the snake and there's like the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the armadillo, the monkey.
That's my favorite.
Of course it is. I like it. It does feel like it would be a missed opportunity if it wasn't a sheep. And I guess it could be like a border collie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's probably what it is. It's probably a sheep.
And then also releasing next week is basically the entire month releases of Privateer Press. And so stuff like Asphyxius 4, the Tessellator, the Negator, a bunch of Riot Quest and Mob Talk items. Cool. Trevor, what did you...
Do you have something you want to share with
class? No, it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
you make it sound as though there's a theme.
Right, well, this is coronavirus related. Somebody showed a picture on Facebook of a guy who made his own face mask. It's clearly made out of a 2-liter bottle.
He's oh my god!
Got a hole out of the side of it. And he's stuck it on his head. Anyway, sorry, just... The two liter bottle mask just cracked me up.
There's hospitals right now where they've ran out of masks and people are like, the medical staff are using like bandanas and
you do what you got to, I guess.
It's apocalyptic fast.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm waiting for Lord Humongous to tell me what to do.
Don't get addicted.
Yeah.
That's a different guy. But
oh. Wait, which is Lord Humongous?
He's the one from Road Warrior.
Oh, okay. I had my...
Yeah.
I do. Okay, two funny coronavirus tweets before we get to Dune. Okay. Dune tweet.
All right.
Okay. So, first one, Jim Cramer says Boeing will run out of money if not saved. And then the reply to it is, maybe Boeing should have thought of that before having all that avocado toast. The next one I like, you, a foolish rube. There's going to be a baby boom in 9 months. Me, wise, having a 4-year-old who is currently at home indefinitely, there's going to be a vasectomy boom in 8 weeks. how have you guys been? I guess you guys are out working while
the wives are the ones that are doing
the kids. Honestly, like if there were not like the overweening anxiety about what may happen with my wife's business
right,
and debts and stuff.
Yeah.
I think she'd be in heaven. Because right. Like the sun has started to come out.
Right.
She doesn't get to spend that much time with her kids. She actually still has been going to take care of stuff a little. I think that Team Wheeler is doing pretty good with the social distancing thing. Once we got over the initial tears, I do love the memes that are like day two of homeschooling. One of the kids just got expelled. And one of the teachers is like drunk or something like that, you know.
So like, my ex-wife she's been remarried, she's got kids now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there was an earthquake in Utah.
Oh right, 5.7.
Yeah, yesterday. So hers was homeschooling day 3. We learned about earthquakes. My wife is not to that point yet. The summer vacation, like the angst and like you're losing your mind with the kids and yell at them to go outside and play, has not hit yet. It won't be until week two, probably, or week three.
So is there a chance that you'll end up working remotely? See, the thing for me is, like, if construction sites got shut down, then I'm pretty sure that my office staff would start to also work remotely.
Uh-huh.
My office is pretty spread out, so there's not, it's not hard. I mean, like, we conducted our weekly manpower planning meeting today via Teams. Like, so no, there's no face-to-face contact for our meetings.
I wish I could answer that question, Josh, but I simply cannot.
Yeah.
The ability of me to work remotely, I can do about 75% of my work remote. The problem is that there's been no guidance at all through my company as to whether or not that should happen. And right now, truthfully, I'm in IT. We are in panic mode.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, most of the guys that are in like our infrastructure team are working, you know, 60, 65 hours a week right now. Sort of timetables. One of the guys I work with regularly is in England, and so he's 7 hours ahead of me. I don't think he goes home until about 8 o'clock at night. Anyway, it's been madness trying to put together. And I've mentioned this to lots of people, but basically, throughout my academic career, I've put together business continuity plans multiple times. There's never once a time in a business continuity plan I have put down the idea that immediately all employees had to work remotely.
Yes.
Like the idea that that should be my business continuity plan has never once occurred to me. You know, I've thought about, well, what happens if the entire building blows up, or what happens if there's a fire or floods? And, you know, we've thought about all these things, but then you're thinking, okay, well, we'll just move to a cold site or a warm site.
Right.
We just have this offsite location where everyone gathers there.
Right.
That doesn't work here. And it's just like,
you're not supposed to gather.
It's like we've put together all these plans, but none of them even remotely apply to the current situation. And it's so odd and weird to me.
Well, speaking of that, like I watched this clip and it's just like a dagger in my heart when I watch it. So it's Ezra Klein interviewing Bill Gates.
Okay.
And it's from 2015. And the question is, you know, what scares you the most? What's going to keep you up at night, or, you know, what terrifies you? And basically he says, you know, it's we're pretty low risk on a nuclear war or a volcano or asteroid or whatever. But he's like, in my lifetime, I believe there will be a big pandemic. And he basically describes the coronavirus.
Shut up.
Yes. And he's like, we spend all these billions of dollars on military and nuclear, et cetera. And this would be really easy to prep for. You know, we could spend a few billion dollars a year and we would be ready for this thing that is going to happen in my lifetime. And here we are.
I'm going to share a Dank Dune meme and then I'm going to your Bill Gates.
Okay.
So this is a Dank Dune meme. Eddie Jesseret, I can't kind of title.
Mother. Reverend Mother.
Reverend Mother. Thank you. Reverend Mother is holding a box in front of Paul Atreides and saying, put your hand in the box. And he says, what's in the box? It's classic Dank Dune.
Yes, right? Yes. Mm-hmm.
And her answer?
Soap.
Hand sanitizer.
I do. So last episode, I gave you the interesting science fact. And you said you wanted
about the
more of those.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another. This isn't.
Even Dr. Wheeler didn't know. I was excited to confirm her.
I'll actually send you a video that talks about that they've made that's pretty interesting about it.
Okay.
Actually, so related to that, you hear your hand washing recommendations that you need to do it for 20 seconds. And the biggest reason why is because that's how long it takes the soap to
dissolve the lipid layer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So interesting science fact. You're going to love this one, Josh. Not at all related to coronavirus.
Okay. Wow.
So if you are blind from birth,
okay,
there are no people who are blind from birth who are schizophrenic. And so the hypothesis they have from this is that schizophrenia is some sort of your brain is having some sort of difficulty processing the visual input, or there's something going wrong with visual inputs and it's causing you to be schizophrenic.
that, first of all, I love hypotheses because they're not proven. An amazing hypothesis.
But
that is a crazy science fact.
The fact part is correct that if you are blind, you will not. But
there's no recorded instance of a blind from birth.
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing that I find as terrifying as your book.
Okay.
It is the conspiracy theory.
Oh my God.
Conspiracy theories terrifying.
Okay.
And partly it's because my extended family is so prone to believe.
And when you say extended family, do you mean your in-laws or your side of family? Sure. It's
okay. You're not gonna particular side or the other.
Throw the entire extended family under the bus.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, please don't buy into. You know what? And here's the thing: if you want to buy into the coronavirus conspiracy theory that I'm.
What's the current one?
That it's man-made, that it was released as an error, something along those lines. If that's fine, if you buy into that, as long as it makes you react rash, like washing your hands for 20, right? Like,
yeah, I can admit that I have there's a part, small grain of me that's like, yeah, this was probably I don't believe that it was released on purpose. I believe that it was man-made, but potentially accidentally released.
Okay, maybe.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Just please wash your hands.
Yeah, right? I agree. Right. There's a small point in me that...
I enjoyed Fallout 4 as a video game also, everybody. Please do not buy... Anyway, that just freaks me out. Because that's part of what I think what makes us more likely to suffer the Bill Gates world is that people...
And it also, like, kind of crushes my soul that, you know, there was... When Obama was president, there was the Ebola crisis, and they did the response to that. And the guy who was in charge of the response to that, H1N1. And
the guy who was in charge.
The guy who was in charge was like, you know, we should probably have like a permanent office on the Security Council that deals with this, and so they created that, and then they got rid of it in 2018 because they don't like anything that Obama did, and I don't know.
There's a lot.
There is.
I had a dream that you guys took my mic away. I had a dream. Since we're 52 minutes in.
At this point,
this is the complete,
we've come too far.
This is the intro-sode where we don't get past the intro in 1 hour. I had a dream where I was in quarantine, so you guys threw me in the corner, took my mic away, and I basically had to yell at the table to contribute. I literally had that dream 2 nights ago.
I had a dream where, so I'd fall asleep. Brian was downstairs playing WoW. He comes up to bed. I wake up, tell him my dream. And it was like, I dreamt that I was a sandwich artist at Gandolfo's.
Gandolfo's is a little New York deli in Idaho Falls.
And that I couldn't make one of the sandwiches, and it was very upsetting.
This is the worst episode ever.
And Brian was like, I think you've been going to Gandolfo's too much lately.
How dare you, sir? What do you suggest?
I have to support my local businesses trying time.
Their Reuben is quite good. So
They have good hot dogs, too.
Sad they don't have
drive-through.
Yeah. They have takeout.
They do have takeout. That's right.
Uber Eats has a $0 delivery service right now.
I bought into it because I'm scared to use
it. Oh, clearly it's out of the hands of the person you bought it from.
No reason. I don't have a rational reason. Never once.
I mean, it's in somebody else's hands during the drive, and things happen bad in Uber cars. So, right. I mean, it's your food. Yeah. I've taken and had Uber Eats. I've eaten.
Okay, something. And no big deal?
They really screwed up my order once.
Which wasn't Uber Eats' fault, though. That was the restaurant's fault.
No, it was the driver's fault.
Oh, really?
I had purchased correctly.
He gave you the wrong thing.
No.
Did he pick up the wrong thing?
Picked up the... Well, it's a little bit hard to explain. The end result is that what I ordered is not what I got.
Okay, sure.
It had most of what I ordered, but not all of it. I see. So I don't know exactly how Uber Eats works, but I believe the order doesn't go to the store. It goes to the driver, and the driver goes and orders it and then grabs it.
Oh,
and so
really?
He screwed up the order.
Oh.
And I don't know if that's the same across all restaurants, but the particular restaurant that I ordered from, that's how it worked. And he forgot to get.
So what you're telling me is with the $0 Uber Eats thing right now, I would be supporting my local restaurants.
And an Uber driver.
And if I'm, when I tip, I'm helping that Uber.
Correct.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Okay. So I listened to a podcast with David Chang.
I mean, I only have $5 to sell. Yeah, so David Chang.
Yeah, where he was being, he was talking back and forth with the other host, and the host asked him, you know, what would you say is the biggest, most important food trend right now?
Okay.
And he picked out like Grubhub and Uber Eats and stuff like that.
Really?
Is it. And
because one of his points, well, more restaurants able to deliver?
Or? No, like his point was like, it's like the current model right now is not sustainable for restaurants. Oh. And like the margins that restaurants operate on are very thin.
Yeah.
And like when they sign up with these different things, they take a pretty big cut of the check, and it makes it so that it's like not profitable for them to, for their business. And he's like, we have to figure out something with this, because it's like, on the one hand, you can't be the one restaurant that's not doing it. But on the other hand, it just destroys your margin.
Well, truthfully, it feels like it's ahead of its time. If we advance this timeline 10 years, drones will deliver the food, and then the drone is not going to cost as much as a driver. Now they can deliver it for a similar cost to what they would an in-house customer is, without, and then the driving fee would be profitable to them. And I realize that that's cutting out a worker, but it feels like that's the most difficult part of the Uber Eats process is paying the driver getting the food from there to you. And that's the biggest chunk of the cost. So now if we can remove that and maybe give some of that back and still have the Uber service getting their piece, the restaurant still getting their piece, you know, now that employee, in theory, he goes and works for the restaurant and makes the food rather than delivering the food. You can still get your food, but it's going to be delivered by drone. I mean, I agree. It feels like it's not a sustainable model. Anytime you try to price the food on there, it's ridiculously expensive because of the fee that you're paying to have it delivered. Yeah, the only time that we've ever done it is because I've been too lazy to go get the food. And I'm like, whatever, I'll just pay the extra $15 or what it is to get my, you know, I'm paying it for a $35 meal. It's a $50 check because I'm paying $15 to Uber and the plus the tip to the driver, et cetera, et cetera. Right. By the time it gets here, I'm buying $50 Wendy's burgers.
That's amazing. For the record,
America,
to bring this back to
this is true.
Just a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
Watching the worldwide pandemic coronavirus, I now understand how it
succeeded. Oh, do tell.
I mean, I get why there are marked souls, you know, and they were able to kind of get in the world without...
Because they didn't believe the infernals were ever going to come.
Right.
They're like, whatever. I'll sell my soul. It's not going to ever come due.
It's an easy bargain to make, baby.
I can give you... Real quick, to close things out.
Are you giving us
Let's talk a little bit about the Henschel scrolls.
Yes.
Just say that we did have an episode plan? We were going to talk about our episode one.
Grim One.
Casters, Grim One and the Witch Coven. We were going to do a Forecaster Four-Way. That was the plan when we started this episode.
It was.
Nobody ever will disbelieve you.
They should. It's a very loose plan. Let me just put it.
So this was actually yesterday, and I thought was... pretty interesting. You probably, as someone who probably doesn't follow the fluff as closely as I do, Trevor, you might not be aware that evidently...
Did Vlad need a VPN in the fluff?
Because
then I might have followed it.
Saren did not... has evidently been kind of on the outs with Everblight.
I didn't know that. Has this been for
a while? And she has, like,
this evidently, is one of the twins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's had like a part of her mind that she's been able to shield from him. And
it's scandalous.
I know. So she got to the portal and she ran through it in defiance of Everblight. And
because she realized it was outside his reach, right?
I think so, yeah.
Wait, one of the portals that Nemo created?
The portals that's taking him into Cyrus.
She's not human though, right? She's elf?
She's Nyss.
Nyss?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's elf. It's all elf. I thought it was only humans going to space. So now we have a chunk of a thong that's heading into
space. Well, about that.
Holy cow, I just realized we're at the...
Oh, what?
Well, like today's update is like... Well, it's itchy to be.
That's not done.
Carry on with the Saren thing.
So Saren goes through the portal, and basically her a thong gets ripped out of her and is left behind.
Oh, so she... she walked through the portal and died on the other side.
It wasn't from her point of view. It was from Ryas's.
Is the Athonk like,
oh geez, she watched her sister walk through the portal?
Yeah,
she didn't follow.
No, not currently.
Okay.
So basically the dragons, like the core of their essence are their Athonks, and right. Everblight took like little slivers or shards.
Cuts little slivers off and he puts it in people and makes them warlocks.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the deal with the warlocks with.
All the Everblight warlocks.
Blood and flesh on its
have a chunk, except for Thagrush, who has like a real large chunk or something.
And then also, one of them was like his creation might not have it as well.
Which was Bethane?
Either Bethane or Kallus.
Oh, yeah. Could be Kallus. Or it might be Absalonia.
I don't think it's Absalonia.
You don't think so? Anyway, no. Yeah.
I think it's Kallus.
So he takes a chunk of his Athonk and he basically sticks it in their heart and then they become corrupted.
Oh, okay. So it does go in there.
I think so. And then they become corrupted. Something.
Suppository.
Something. I said your words. Liver. Anyway, sticks it inside them, and then they become a warlock of his manipulation. And so her going through, that thing getting ripped out, I'm envisioning her going, yes, I'm finally free. And she jumps through the portal, dead on the other side.
another thing of interest, a scene that was kind of interesting. The Cadoran Empress got news of Vlad being dead, and the Butcher has kind of been her bodyguard while this has all been going on. Mm-hmm. And so she says to the Butcher, like, Vlad is dead now. And the Butcher's like, okay, so what? and then she's like, well, we're going to go to the Henchhold now. And he's like, cool. And it's, she said that both of those answers surprised her.
Deep plot line.
There's also, so there was the plot line with Retribution and Scorn.
Yes.
Where they had captured Agathon.
Yep. I knew all that. I did know that stuff, but I didn't read it. I just, I'm in a lot of those types of groups. So I'm getting it secondhand.
So basically, Agathon found a way to like break free, and now it's trying to collect souls while it's running to Zadaroth. And we're starting to see like the rumblings up of whatever the Guardian is or whatever that the Triumvirate let them summon.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah, what's it called?
I thought we talked last time about how like Zadaroth and Amadalmos were losing, and so they like contacted the basically like the three highest members of the Nanocrian Order.
Okay.
And we're like, hey, send us help. And they considered it, and then they ended up sending this entity to help them out.
I should probably read it. Hexrus is one of those characters that I think he's cool.
They do have, if you're not wanting to read it all on Twitter, on the Private Press site, they have compilation pages.
Oh, so they've taken the community's...
I still read the community's compilation
step page. Forward, and they're like, oh, maybe we can make a compilation of them. Compile
all it. It does it in, like... pages though, so it's right now we're on like 5 or 6 compilation pages from Privateer Press, I think, and that are sequential, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it might not have the most recent tweets if they haven't done like number 6 or 7.
Yeah, I could lie to you, Jay, and say that I was going to go read it, but you know, I don't think that's fair. I'm not going to.
Well, maybe sometime during your copious downtime at work coming up, you can. Do that.
I was, since it's supposed to be spring break here next week, I was gonna take some time off. My kids have been just like pleading with me to play D&D, and so I was gonna take some time off and play D&D with them, but I kind of brought it up with my boss, and he's just kind of like, yeah, I'm not sure it's the best idea to try to take time off right now. So everyone else is like, but I'm out of work, I gotta work at home. My boss is like, no.
Yeah.
Can't even take time off.
Okay. I guess I have a final question for you guys. So,
is this our worst episode ever?
slash best.
Yeah, also yes.
What's your, so with the caveat that humans are bad at predicting the future?
Yeah.
what sort of
unless time, you're the Simpsons?
Yeah. What sort of time frame do you think we're going to be experiencing?
Experiencing the social distancing.
Sure. Yeah.
I say 3 months.
We'll have some pretty financial problems. There's a large number of people who have major issues at that point.
There's a large number of people who have it at 1 month.
I understand, but 3 months is like you're talking near apocalypse.
I have a friend who runs a restaurant in Houston.
Oh wow!
Who just fired 45 people.
Uh-huh.
And you know what?
And what's crazy to me, like Texas even hasn't even done that one yet, right?
In Houston did, but yeah.
Oh, Houston did.
Yeah, when you're the fourth largest city in the nation, you got to do something.
Why? What's your time?
I don't like.
Quick, make my way.
I think that so. I think that we're likely going to be like a month or two of social distancing, we'll have a month or two off, and then we're going to be back on it's going to be in waves.
It'll be waves.
Okay. Yes, and okay. I think that's going to go on for 18 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Based on what's the scientific outfit in London that wrote the report?
The Imperial College.
The Imperial College does make it seem like
yeah,
kind of like Jay's does. Really.
Because they don't expect.
Because it'll take that long to.
If at any point it like takes a hold of the population and starts spreading, you have to immediately start doing the social distancing stuff again. And the 18 month point is when they think that they're going to have widespread vaccines.
Interesting.
You can't beat that prediction. Give us your optimistic prediction.
I want it, please.
You are now the optimist of the podcast.
My optimistic prediction was 6 weeks.
Okay.
Of this cycle, sure. I can see small.
You could buy into Jay's cycle
thing. I think it would be probably a little bit smaller each time, but I mean, this is the initial panic. I think that 6 weeks is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being the optimist here at 6 weeks. Like I still think that financially, the world is going to experience a massive
major boo boo.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive recession. You know, if not just a full blown depression for many years to come, because it feels like it's going to be hard to.
The Treasury Secretary, which, mind you, before he was Treasury Secretary, his job was being executive producer of Suicide Squad. So
also, he looks like a change.
He does.
I'm sorry,
I guess I haven't seen him.
I can't say his name.
Steve Mnuchin.
Mnuchin. I always want to say that.
Yeah. Anyways, he said, I think that Washington is scared enough that they are going to do something. But he was basically like, if there isn't some sort of stimulus next month, unemployment will be at 20%.
I believe that. I think even with the stimulus, it'll be at 20%.
Because the stimulus doesn't necessarily let you open your doors back up.
No, it does not. It keeps those unemployed people from like losing everything they have.
Right.
But truthfully, I don't see any situation where we do not have 20% unemployment. I just don't see any way that it's possible.
See, we're probably skyrocketing
already.
There's going
to
be.
You need to pause. Like,
this can't happen.
Bills, rents, mortgages.
There's too much going on. If you pause your mortgage, then the guy at the mortgage company can't pay his bills.
Right.
And he can't pay his bill. I mean, it's a big interconnected thing.
It's a big house of cards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I mean, always
I've seen a lot. I'm gonna go start getting bonds.
That's right the way now. Economies work.
I understand.
Yeah.
It is a big house of cards. I mean,
there are a bunch of people who don't know how to manage risk.
Yeah, because by the human race.
Exactly. I love this species.
I mean, the funny thing is it's going to hit some people way worse than others.
Oh yeah. See, like, I mean, frankly, my household, we're going to get hit.
Are you guys starting like?
We sort of.
At what point is construction gonna?
I don't know that. See, like right now, I have a crew that is, we're calling them job site. We don't want them moving from
the job site
any other job site.
Right.
Because.
And they're quarantined from other groups, meaning that group is the same group of guys.
Correct.
Yeah.
You're not letting other guys.
This is like four guys.
Right.
But we're just like, okay, keep job site.
Right.
But I mean, the reality, like, you're a little bit different, but like some of the smaller construction shops, like, who's going to be doing a remodel?
Right.
This summer.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I am because my roof leaked.
Yeah. That's...
Brian really, really wanted us to do a remodel this summer on our master bedroom. And like, that's just not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Hard pause on that.
I mean, I'm sitting in a situation where I don't feel any sort of pressure on my financial situation, but I had other things that happened this year. So, and I have student loans coming due and I'm like, maybe we should clinch the belt, even though my money situation is not going to change. I'm still thinking maybe I should get rid of a few of these things and try to save a little bit of money, which is what everybody's doing, which is what causes this sort of situation.
Please buy from discountgamesy.com.
An amazing final show by Jay for the episode.
Please clap.
Okay, well, next episode, I think we're actually going to be trying to have a guest on.
Do we know who that's going to be?
We haven't scheduled it yet. We have a short list.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Excited. So, thanks for listening.
Gosh, sorry that you did.
On that note.
But, yeah, on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.